Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast where we embrace and discuss any and all mediums of entertainment. Today is going to be an open discussion on some of the news from the past 2 weeks. Going to be a little bit different just because I'm kind of just going to pick and choose what we talk about, not necessarily like drill everything like we kind of are used to. But as always, joining me, my co-host, the whimsical warrior, the weed whacker, the waifu wizard. What's up, Marcus?
The weed whacker, the waifu wizard. Oh, that's good. That's good. I honestly, I don't know if one day we'll ever go back and kind of compile a list of all the different nicknames and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, more my cousin. My cousin is the one who he has a lawn business, and you know, he came and he's invested quite heavily into it, and you know, cuts the grass and edges the grass, and you know, what is it? He pulled out my weeds, even that. He went all out. So all I did was buy the weed killer, and there I was, after he was done and left, I started just spraying the grass and, you know, having a good time, enjoying the weather and whatnot. The waifu, what'd you say? What was it? The waifu wizard.
The waifu wizard. You don't want to know the other one. I changed to the waifu wizard because I was going to say something else, but I was like, nah, I don't want to expose my boy like that.
No, please don't.
I'll just say that the first word rhymes with samurai.
Huh. I'll have to think about that right now. But I'm glad you didn't, because we do have a couple of our friends who listen to that, and they do have a tendency to kind of hold things over you, and they will not let it go. It can be 10, 15 years, and if it's something that they think is the funniest thing in the world, they will not let it go. But nonetheless, doing all right. Been a tough couple of 2 weeks. Just I've actually been kind of under the weather for a bit, and more so with just, you know, my health overall, and I've kind of been trying to manage and navigate what the, you know, I guess the future holds and stuff like that. Yeah, I just had a lot. I've had a lot on my mind and stuff, and you know, just even relationships, and it's just been rough, a rough couple of weeks. And I know the podcast is always something that I fall back onto and I enjoy. And so I'm glad Rico, you know, messaged me, and I was just trying to really and honestly just get myself to come back and I guess get things back to normal, because I guess the podcast, it's been almost 2 years, right? So has it been 2 years already since we started?
More than, I think we're going on three.
It's been 2 years. Yeah. Well, I mean, I know we started like in March or April, right? In 2 years ago, at least, right? If I'm not mistaken, 2022,
yeah,
I believe.
No, so, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and as a matter of, because I remember we started like in March or April, and we didn't start actually publishing them until May or so. So it's been about 2 years. Oh my God, dude. 2 years, two awesome years. And I'm sure, I don't know if you ever want to go back and talk about what the last year was like. I know we've kind of found our bearings, and there's still a lot that we want to do and a lot that we, you know, wanted, I guess, create for our podcast and stuff, but we'll see how it goes. But nonetheless, I'm happy to be here. Always going to be a good time. And yeah, man, I'm excited. Let's get going.
Yeah, the very first one was May 29th of 2022. But of course, at that point, we had already recorded
a few,
like maybe five. And we posted them all like the same day. So yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. We got to go back, especially since it's been, you know, already 2 years, man. Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I wanted to kind of change it up a little bit, because I know we kind of go through like this subject, kind of just throw stuff out. We kind of go through some things really fast, other things we kind of talk about. So I kind of just wanted to like revamp our little news, like recap sections, where we kind of just talk about the big things that we can think about, that we recall, that are still fresh in our minds from the past, in this case, 2 weeks. You know, whether it's, you know, the NCAA tournament I know is going on. There was a couple things in gaming. We had some Overwatch stuff. So anything kind of jump out at you right away that you kind of just want to talk about?
As far as
anything,
where we're starting,
and any of the news from the past week, I'm it's not, we're not going to be informed, we're not going to be like, okay, anime first, movie second, gaming third, just let me know big thing, and if you want, I can start it, or you can kind of just throw something out there.
I mean, I'm trying to think, and I kind of figured it was going to go like, I guess you keep the same categories, but just kind of talk about on the top of our head, kind of like that.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah, I mean, we talk about the same kind of things because we have the interest, right? But I guess I'll just go ahead and kick it off. Marvel Rivals is one of the big things kind of from the past week that there had been rumors about some kind of Marvel game coming for a while. I had no idea that it was going to be what it is, but basically like a day or two before they kind of announced, hey, Marvel's working on something with the superheroes that is an Overwatch-like game, a 6v6 Overwatch-like game. So obviously you and I being huge Overwatch fans, and you know, some of the guys also liking Overwatch, but you know, they just haven't stuck with it as much as like you have. And then plus me, I started playing a little later, but still I'm super hooked on it. I'm playing ranked. Like every time I'm on, I'm just hooked on playing ranked. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. Today is like the, well, I'll wait on that. I'll wait on the Overwatch stuff. But Marvel Rivals, we got a trailer. We got an announcement for an alpha. I think it's what, next month? Yeah, I think in May.
May, yes.
So, I mean, what did you think? Are you excited? Does what you saw make you think of Overwatch? Where does it fall for you, excitement wise, and what does the game look like to you?
It did look like Marvel, and I know when I saw some of the gameplay though, it seemed a little bit more, I guess, fast paced or intense. I'm not sure what the word would be, but obviously they only have a handful of characters and stuff. But my main thing was just being able to play in a team type format with your favorite Marvel superheroes. I thought that was cool. One of the things I was really like, oh damn, Spider-Man. Oh, and then we saw the other league. Oh, Penny Parker. I was tripping out. Penny Parker does have a mech. She's a tank. And besides that, I'm already thinking like, damn, you know, just give me all the Spider-Man, give me Silk, Spider-Gwen, Venom. I'll be happy with any of those. But then you kind of look at the other rosters and the Hulk, and the Hulk is supposed to what? Turn to the Hulk and then go to Bruce Banner, but then kind of do like a little thing. And then Magneto is supposed to just, you know, it's awesome. It's fun, right? Just having the superheroes that everybody enjoys, everybody loves, and you're able to play them in a 5v5 format. So 6v6, I'm sorry. I was actually excited. I thought it looked cool. I know some people were, you know, here nor there about it. I'll always go online and kind of see what the mass consensus is. But this one seemed more positive than negative. So I was at least happy about that. But it is a free-to-play game, so we will obviously give it a try, especially since we're Overwatch, you know, enthusiasts. And we have over 1,000 hours in Overwatch, probably over 3,000 cumulatively. I think it's going to be fun, and I think it's a fresh game, it's a new game. And I know a lot of times us and our friend group are kind of like, oh, let's try a new game or whatever, play a new game. And I think it's a game that we will at least be able to try out together, which should enhance the fun, right? And assuming that, you know, there's not long wait periods or whatever, and we can actually have a cohesive gaming session.
Yeah, I did immediately send out alpha links to everybody so they could sign up, and I'm pretty sure everybody did sign up that I send it to. So I think we do have to mention that it is going to be free to play. The company that's making it is kind of, people are weary of them because they're the ones that made Diablo Immortal, and which that game was very,
their microtransactions were a big deal.
Yeah, I was going to say that one was rough with the microtransactions. You know, a lot of people talked about that and how much it took to like be able to max out your character and get all this stuff, and everything was just insane. Of course, when the microtransactions are mostly cosmetic, I never mind. I don't care because, you know, once you get into the game, you get your mains, you get the characters you like, and then, well, you just can choose or not choose to buy like your mains skins and stuff like that. So as long as it's nothing crazy, I don't mind. Again, cosmetic is what I mean there. But I think it's exciting, and I know there's been a lot of resistance to the game being compared to Overwatch because people say, oh, it's nothing like Overwatch. Well, you know, it's sixes. There's the concept of tank damage support, as far as we know, because that's kind of what it looks like if you look at like the icons and the characters and all that stuff. you know, the powers did look like crazy.
So it looked like a lot of
very,
fun.
Very, very, you know, a lot more Overwatch, a lot more Overwatch, a lot more Paladins, a lot less Valorant. I thought the art looked a lot like Valorant, like ish. Mm-hmm. But I'm really excited. My number one person I can't wait to play is Magneto, to be honest. And then we'll see who else comes out you know, the journey once we start playing. But I'm excited. I think that what's going to set this game apart from a lot of the other ones that have kind of tried to, I don't want to say be like Overwatch, but a lot of ones that borrow stuff from Overwatch or are inspired by things like Overwatch, is that these are not like brand new characters. These are characters that have fan bases already. They have stories already. So I feel like there's a big fandom that's gonna like jump on board this game just because it's Marvel. Uh-huh. And because people love Spider-Man, like you were talking about. I love the X-Men, you know, the people that are Hulk fans and kind of have that whole dynamic of him switching between Banner, which I think he's supposed to have some kind of like ray gun when he's Banner, and then he turns into Hulk and kind of just goes crazy. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people were talking about that one character that was using like a sword. What was her name?
Was it a support character?
I think it was a damage character, and she like is slashing and stuff, like was with a big reddish sword. Mist? Or
no, what was her name?
I don't remember. I'm not familiar with her at all.
Yeah, there was one or two that I wasn't familiar with, and I think that was probably one of them. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, and then a lot of people were excited to see Galactus' daughter come out there in that trailer. So I don't know. I think there's going to be a big fandom, and that's going to be a big entry point to a lot of people to play this game. And even if it's just okay and it starts to build, you know, I think loving Overwatch and loving this game, like I don't have to hate this game just because I love Overwatch. I think having both of them and having them be a little bit different, but you know, it kind of scratches that same itch of like, I want to play a cool character with cool abilities, and I want to work together with my team and do like have little synergies and this and that or whatever. So I think it's good competition, and you know, them kind of hopefully being good, being a good game and pushing each other a little bit and being able to split my time a little, like I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So speaking of Overwatch, we did have two big things for Overwatch this week. One is we got the early preview of the new character, Venture. Did you get to try them at all? Well, let me start by saying this. Venture was a character introduced, which is, I think, the first character, I think, that uses the pronouns they, them. Yes. You know, I will say that I am not experienced very much in doing the whole pronoun thing. So I respectfully want to make the effort to say they, them. I might slip up. If I do, I apologize. But they were now in the game. I thought their kit was pretty cool. It was very cyclical, a cyclical kit, kind of like Doom. A lot of people compared it to old DPS Doomfist. Mm-hmm. So what did you think? Did you get to try them out? Or
a lot more than I care to admit, because I usually don't. When it comes to the new players, I'll wait till like the hype dies down, because nobody really everybody's always picking them. But in this case, like, it was real funny, because every time I joined a game, like, everybody, like, DPS would wait, and then if I pick somebody else first, they'd pick Venture, or I pick Venture, like, I would wait for them, and then they'd pick somebody, I'd pick Venture. So, I don't know, I guess the community, it was real weird. The games I was in, people were actually, it seemed like, whether it was on purpose or not, or coincidence, I don't know, but people were very, what's the word, thoughtful, I guess, in terms of, oh, let's have everybody try Venture out, and they were a lot of fun. I had a blast. And my thing is, I'm not used to those type of players, like the Doomfist type players that, you know, get in, you know, cycle your cooldowns, either destroy, get out. But I will say that I had a blast. I was just zooming and zagging and burrowing and coming up and shooting and going back down. And I loved playing them. I hated playing against them. I did play some venture players that were, oh my god, I'd get pissed. I'd just be like, how can we not shoot them? I was like, they should take some chip jab. I don't care. Like they just run away, and I'd get all mad because they burrow or whatever. But I had a blast, and the main thing in terms of venture was that I never felt that they were too overpowered or too crazy in any respect, and I didn't feel that they were too weak. But the most important part is that they were fun, and they were just a lot of fun to play, and it actually made me look forward to Venture coming out again in season 10, just to play with them again, because they were fun. And I don't know, a lot of times when it comes to some of these players, they're very one, I don't say one trick, right? But the abilities are kind of, you know, like Roadhog is going to hook. It's going to hook. So how do you make Roadhog fun? Well, if you're environmentalist, we're going to hook into the pit. We're going to hook into the pit, right? Which is, you know, at least this was before, right? Before his rework and stuff like that. Or other ones where, you know, soldiers, you're kind of COD guys, so you kind of know what you're doing. But with Venture, like, there was a lot of, there could be a lot of strategy and a lot of thought-provoking decisions that would go into it. You know, Enrico was kind of, well, if you brew first, you know, and then you dash, it's 4 seconds instead of eight. So I was like, okay, cool. That was a combo. So I'd burrow, dash, wait a little bit, kind of see everybody's at, come up, and the voice lines were a lot of fun. And then I'd be in the air, and I was making split second decisions while in midair, whether to take somebody out, whether, okay, am I in over my head? Do I dash out? Do I drill into somebody? Do I ult right now? It was a lot of fun. The ult I was still kind of getting used to, but I would fly everywhere just because I would go to the second story in some maps just because I could. Like, just let me go up there. Let me just see what, let's take a little peek instead of having to take the long way. But I thought they were amazing. So kudos, man. If more heroes are that fun, you know, I don't want any of the other heroes to be left behind, because I'm a big fan of everyone. So I would hope that they do kind of use that realm of just, hey, they're fun to play. And I think, to me, that's always been like the main thing. Have the heroes fun to play.
Yeah, and I think I think you nailed it. You know, they were a good experience. The cyclical thing, like I said, a lot of people compared them to Doomfist because of the, you know, the cycles. But then also, both of their abilities can be used as both an engage or an escape, which is the burrow and the drill. And then a lot of people were really excited about the character in general because they showed like this quirky side and like this identity that, like, you know, you don't see in too many of the characters, where it's basically like their whole gimmick is, I love rocks. I love rocks. And I think now in the lore, which I think the fan base started, and now it seems like the devs are kind of just rolling with it, that not only do they love rocks, but they eat them too. Because if you notice, like, they have like a little chip on one of their teeth. So like, now I think they're going to kind of roll with that too. Like, yeah, they eat rocks.
Have you seen
who cares? This is what I love. So, you know, there's something to admire there.
People were already making memes. I was losing my shit because Atlantis: The Lost Empire is one of those underrated Disney films nobody ever sees. But there's that character, the mole. Remember
the mole? Yeah.
Straight up, dude. Straight up. That was Venture, and I the parallels, right? You know, mole eats rocks, and Venture, and a lot of the voice lines. What were they? Surprise! And
that was my favorite. Surprise!
And they were real quirky and real fun. And that's what I mean. Like, the voice lines were hilarious. And they even spoke Spanish, and I was all tripping myself. And I was like, dang, because they are Canadian Mexican, correct? So, mm-hmm. And again, we're Hispanic, Rico and I, and we're Mexican American. And so when a character speaks Spanish, we know exactly what they're saying. And I think they were very proper and very like, oh, what they say? Like, oh, I'm so sorry in Spanish or something like that, if I remember correctly. But it was just a lot of, the voice lines were super well done too. So kudos to I don't remember who the actress is. I don't even know who it is, to be honest with you. Because there's times, like, even the voice is just phenomenal too. They did such a good job of highlighting the, what is it, agender or no gender? You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
Who I don't know who it is. So where it is, good job, man, because those voice lines were peak in Spanish and in English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great overall, and a good experience. I'm excited. I think, from what I understand, we do have our next hero lined up as well, which is supposed to be Space Ranger, which I believe is supposed to be a support, and then it's not confirmed yet, but the thought is that the next one after that will be a tank, because I think we saw something in the tank category last time when they talked about Venture and Space Ranger, and it was just like an icon that we saw in the tank. So yeah, I think not the next hero, but the hero after that will be a tank for us. So exciting. I love the playtesting thing too that we've had, first with Malga and now with Venture. So hopefully they keep that rolling. The other thing for Overwatch this week, which actually there's probably one other thing. The other thing for Overwatch this week is a big debate started up again about 5v5 versus 6v6. What do you like better? Do you think we should? Do you think the devs should try to go back? Do you think we should go back completely? Do you think we should play test it? And I think it's been long enough that we've already played a lot of Overwatch in this fashion. Maybe not. Maybe we can save like a long-winded discussion for another time. Maybe it'll have its own episode, because I think there's a lot of things that we have to go through. But do you stand on one side or another of that debate? Do you, are you more pro 5v5? Are you more pro 6v6? You know, just
as as a support and a DPS player, I think 5v5 fits, because again, you're not having a hyper focus on, you're hyper focusing on five characters instead of six. But as a tank main, as a tank player, it, and I get it, right, where your tank kind of dictates the play style that your team should follow, have to follow, and so forth. But the idea of a main tank and a support tank, and you and I always, you know, had a lot of fun, you know, maining and supporting, and I would use you know, my favorite characters, and we'd play off each other and stuff like that, to where, And I get it. And I get why 66 was kind of winded, but it was more so because of the just exenerable amount of shields that were in 6v6, to the point where like it never looked like it got a lot of traction. In this modern Overwatch, the characters seem to be a lot more, they're a lot more engaging. Like you're fighting and you're going, like the shields aren't, there's hardly any, right? Unless there's a certain one tank that does it. So, you know, but let's say that, oh yeah, Sigma and Ryan or Sigma and Ramattra with their small shields. But even then, like the shields aren't that big of a thing. And it might even, in this day and age, it might even make Ryan's shield a little more prominent, because he's one of the few characters with a shield of 1400 is what they gave him. So, you know what I mean? Like, I don't stand any on any which one, because, you know, Overwatch can do whatever the hell I want and I'm going to play it, right? But I'm very curious to see what a 6v6 would look like with this Overwatch, where it seems like, again, it is a lot more faster paced. The characters are a lot more engaging, and you're going in, you know what I mean? As compared to the sit back and not, you know, it was Orisa, it was, what is it? I'm sorry, not Roger, Sigma, Ryan with those just huge, huge shields. And even a lot of the DPS characters weren't as, high damage output with the healing and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot, man. It'd be interesting to see what the 6v6 like is going on with these changes that Overwatch 2 has made, because it's already a lot between, you know, Overwatch 1 and where we're at.
Yeah, I think I'm also interested in what it would be like. I also don't really have a preference. I actually really enjoyed both. I feel like as a tank main, I feel like it's a lot more engage. This game is a lot more engaging, 5v5, whereas, you know, the 6v6 thing was a lot more about synergy. And what I do miss, admittedly, from 6v6 is, since both of us are, we play tanks the most, you know, being able to tank together and have that little synergy and play like the Rein Zarya, the Zarya monkey, you know, you would play Wrecking Ball and I would go Zarya, so I could bubble you in and out, and like being able to do like certain things and work off each other, you know, and everything was kind of just ruined by double shield and how long like that dominated the end of Overwatch 1. I think though, like going back, to 6v6, would we... I'm curious, like, what? How would it work? Would we go back to the way things... to the way the heroes used to be and rework the new heroes to, like, fit that style? Would we put all the characters just as is and just add one more tank? Because I really don't know. I mean, I can't imagine, like, Ramattra Mauga, like, as is.
Yeah.
I think I like that. To me, that's crazy. Like, that's nuts. Or yeah, like, that... or like Mauga Zarya, like...
That's what I'm saying. I think just bubbling Mauga there in the middle, or Ram when he's in a punch mode or whatever. Imagine just like what are you gonna do? That's my thing. That's what I'm kind of like. Oh shoot, you know, a lot of these guys, because the tanks that have come out for Overwatch 2, they were made with 5v5 in mind, and being, you know, more of the tanky, oppressive, gonna get in there and I'm gonna ruin your life when I ult. So, you know, stuff like that. Where the other tanks, you know, were not like that initially, right? D.Va, Zarya were made for 6v6 initially. So, like, as a dive or as a bubble. So, you're spot on, man. That's where I'm kind of like, oh, shoot, imagine, dude, like, Zarya just bubbling Ramattra and an ult. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and then not just for the tanks, but, like, for the other roles as well. Like, are we going to have to increase healing numbers back to where they used to be? Are we getting rid of the DPS passive? Are we going to go back to a world where we have Cassidy with CC? Mei with her freeze, Brig with her stun, like on cooldown? You know, are we going to go back to, are we going to need CC back? Because our tank's going to be so powerful that they're going to run over DPS if, you know, this tank lineup is better than their tank lineup. You know what I mean? The only way they're going to be able to stop us. I remember a lot of times, like, when I was struggling in Overwatch 1, I would just switch to, at the time it was McCree, but, you know, now his name has been changed to Cassidy. And you would just start to use your stun to just kind of mess up the other tank, hit him with the, what is it called? Where you shoot his gun quickly, fan the hammer and then roll and then fan the hammer again. You know, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of, it's not as simple as just like add a tank back.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of little intricate things and I would be interested to try it. But I don't know. I'm not really like one way or another. I like both versions of the game. I do feel like that nostalgia for like going back, but I don't feel like it's very simple. I feel like it's a lot of little things that they would have to look at. And I don't know how long it would take to like build the right version.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, for exactly. Yeah, spot on.
You know, and I feel like with this new DPS passive thing, and the like all around healing and stuff like that, I feel like we've been in a good spot, and I feel like we've been in a very good spot. And I know there's a lot of people that are saying, you know, oh, well, the tank experience, like, how do we fix it? Is counter swapping fixable or not? Versus like some of the issues that, you know, 6v6 had with like double shield and Q times and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I don't think there's like a right answer. I think it's kind of like we'll pick the downside of fives or sixes, because there's downsides to both and there's good parts to both. Yeah. So, I'm not sure. I think this is something we kind of have to discuss maybe a little bit more in a full discussion for like an Overwatch debate.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can like pick sides and kind of like put them together, and like you present one side, I present the other side, and we kind of just will at the end kind of say like, you know what, you're right, I like that better. Maybe, you know, either way.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that we got an April Fool's patch today. Uh-huh. Have you gone to try it? Did you see some of the crazy things? If you did, what was your favorite?
I was playing that all day. No, I already did all the events, because there's like event challenges, you get like little sprays. I did them all, and I was having a blast, and there were some where I was laughing, and there were some I was like, are you serious? And there were some I'm for support, I can go as far as say that Moira's probably my main, but on this one they swapped her damage and her healing, so now her when you write
wow, so you finally healed, huh?
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean? I'm always a healer first,
Moira. You finally healed. Nice.
When I was trying to heal, man, because not only did they swap their damage, her DPS and her healing, so you know, for like her main is the spray. What are you supposed to spray heal? Well, now this is a spray DPS, and where she kind of like used that suction. Now it's a healing, right? So you can heal players. Well, I was trying to figure it out, so I was trying to throw orbs to heal my team, but they also swapped the orbs. So I was throwing damage orbs at my teammates like a dumbass, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? So that was pretty funny. I kind of tried most of the DPS. I tried most of the tanks. I didn't really try all the support, but there was some like Diva was just like you were able to move backwards and with her jet boosters. So mm-hmm. So instead of going forward, you know, and you kind of move in circles, you can literally just go back. So I was I would boost going backwards and waving at the enemy team something stupid like it was just I was just having fun with them. And then Bastion was in configuration mode the entire time, and then when you would go into his recon mode, it had a cooldown, so you could only be in recon mode for 10 seconds at a very slow rate but the high DPS. Torbs, the his turret could stick anywhere, top side ceiling, you can stick onto teammates and stuff like that. And that was one I was kind of like, why don't they do that? At least not the teammate part, but the turrets, you know, sticking the turret to a ceiling or to the side of a building, like that part I was kind of like, huh. And even some people online were like, you know, I wonder if Overwatch actually takes some of these ideas and, you know, they probably have in the back of their head, so they want to see how people will like use them and stuff like that. And or like Symmetra's, that one was nuts. Her teleporter, it was an exit only. When the teleporter would be placed, all your teammates had the option. You had 10 seconds to decide whether it wants you to teleport or not, regardless of where you are on the map. You press F or you click L, and it will teleport you to exactly where Symmetra placed the what you call it, her teleporter. Mm-hmm. So like I was playing King's Row, and I was Symmetra. Two of my teammates had died, right? And you know that traveling is a way back when, but I put my teleporter on the bottom and they clicked and they were back at point within a second. I said, man, that is stupid, dude. So there's just different things. I got to try a lot. I'm trying to think more on the top of my head, but
yeah, no, my favorite by far was Smauga.
Oh, Smauga.
Smauga was amazing, especially if you pair Smauga with the new Brig, where Brig is like giant, dude. And you just start looking up at Brig and you're like, mommy, uppies, mommy.
No,
hilarious, bro. He was tiny. And when he does his cage fight, it was also tiny.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Zenyatta, they added on his secondary fire, you know how he musters the orbs. He would float in the air. And so it got to a point where, no joke, I was playing Zenyatta. I must have like 10,000 damage and like 3,000 healing, but I was just floating in the air and flying half the time, dude. It was nuts, just completely nuts. It was a lot of fun. I did do all the events and all that good stuff, so I did have a good time with it.
Yeah, awesome. So yeah, anything else you want to throw out there before I move? I already threw kind of like two. Is there anything else from the week you want to talk about? I have a couple more, but if not.
From the week, I haven't really played much or seen anything. I'm trying to remember. I did play, and I think I mentioned to you, right, the Sandland. I don't know if we talked about that on the podcast, but I did try a couple of the demos. I was going to try the Stutterblade demo, but I missed out on it right when I got from work because apparently I took it down, but it did come back up.
It's back already. Huh?
Yeah, it is back up. I think it was like 2 or 3 days ago. So I do have it downloaded, as a matter of fact, already. So I will play that demo, but the Sandland demo was a lot of fun. It was a small little thing, and I just kind of played it for a good hour and a half, 2 hours, and just kind of got used to a lot of the powers and stuff. But I didn't want to get too much, but I didn't want to try. And it's a day one buy for me. I have not gotten Dragon's Dogma or Princess Peach Showtime, two games I got to get. But Stellar Blade has been getting a lot of attention for various reasons. And one of the things that we talked about a while were off the podcast a while back was the IGN article, how it was the internet just comes to the defense of whomever, and The article kind of finished off with, it's clearly this person who made Eve has never seen a woman in real life, and I don't know what. But then you just, but then when they start, you know, the creators start releasing how they came about, and the artist is a woman. She's the one who created what is it from that game, Nike or Nick N I K K E, that one.
Oh, and the goddess, the mobile game.
So she created a lot of the on that one, a lot of characters. And then apparently Eve is actually based off a real person. And they were showing scans of this beautiful Korean woman being scanned. And that's the base model for, you know, our character. And so, like, the entire internet just went like, you see, like, you don't know what you're talking about. You called her. And it was more of what they said, that she was just a something doll. What was it? Like, it wasn't a sex doll. What was it? A porcelain doll or something like that. They just totally just missed the mark on the article.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Basically they were just kind of saying like, oh, they're just using this over sexualization character, like, to draw people in. And they went with that of, I don't know why they chose to go with those words of like, oh, whoever made this game has never seen a woman before. Cause if they had done their research, I remember way back when they first started showing, because I remember originally it was called like Project Eve. Yeah. And then when they kind of announced it was going to be Stellar Blade and gave us a better look. And that's when everybody was first like introduced to this character, like, this is who she is or whatever. And I remember there was an article that came out shortly after where they talked about like, yeah, we made her off of this Korean model. We based her off, and we did scans with this Korean model. And I remember, looking all that up, reading about that, and I remember they made comments about like, yeah, we took a little bit of liberties with the character because like people are going to be looking at this character a lot. So so I figured that how did these guys not do their research? Like, that was just a very dumb comment. They, you know, shot themselves in the foot with that, and a lot of people were upset. And I really hope that it really doesn't take away from the game at all. It doesn't seem like it based on the, you know, the pushback that IGN is getting and stuff like that. But it was a big discussion.
Yeah, for sure. And to get into a little bit of like the demo, because I went to go read what's up with the demo too, not just the woman involved, but that the game is supposed to be more people. They're not calling it Souls-like. But they're saying that some of the bosses can be a little challenging in that aspect. There are some people that even say a little bit of Bayonetta type thing. So if I were to guess, the consensus seems to be kind of a mesh of both. Souls-like and in terms of just, you know, you're traveling, you find your boss, and Sekiro, more along those lines, where the battle system is a little bit more... it's not as damning as those other ones, but if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get popped and you're going to die. So it seems that they are going into that route, but obviously with a flashiness of like a Bayonetta type, Devil May Cry-esque action, you know, that seems to be what we're getting. But I haven't tried the demo yet. I'm going to play it myself in it, you know, that one. It looks, if it's Souls-like, if there's hard bosses, rewarding fights, I'm all about it. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I did want to bring up that story with the IGN and all that stuff because it's pretty funny.
Okay. Another thing I saw this week that was like a long time coming, that I don't know if it's because of the... There's been like some lawsuits and stuff going on with some of the big companies in the U.S. I think one of them was Apple. And I think we did get an announcement that Apple is finally going to introduce RCS messaging onto their platform, which is kind of a long time coming. If you're not familiar with what that is, it is a type of communication, and it is it's available on like all other phones, I think, except Apple. They kind of have held it back. And that is why there is such a disparity in connection when you're texting with somebody within the Apple ecosystem and then texting with people outside of the Apple ecosystem, because they have refused to like adopt that. And if you are on Android or if you're on Apple and you have somebody that you know that uses the other iOS system, the text messaging is not as smooth as like RCS to RCS on Androids or on WhatsApp or on anything else. And then, you know, you have the iMessage ecosystem on the iOS side. So now that should finally like make that improve like massively. So I know I'm a person that I get bored with my iOS and I end up switching to Google a lot. And then one of the first things people say is, "Ugh, you went back to a different kind of phone." And I'm like, dude, I can't. Like, I can't be just bored with one kind type of phone. So every so often I switch. So this is actually very big news for me and for anybody that enjoys, you know, a little bit of both worlds. It's supposed to be this fall. I think fall of 2024 is when Apple's supposed to be changing from the SMS text system to the RCS text system. So good news there. And good on Apple for finally, you know, modernizing the system. There was also a discussion, I don't know if you saw, about Phil Spencer. I don't remember who the interview was with, but he had an interview where he talked about the possibility of bringing Epic, and then I think it was some kind of IO website. I don't remember what the IO website, but it's basically where a lot of people publish indie games. And he talked about the possibility of bringing those two launchers to Xbox. And then people were thinking, if that's the case, you know, there's been rumors that Xbox and all of them are working with there's a possibility that we could get Steam on Xbox too. A lot of people are like, yes, like this would be super cool. Other people are very resistant to a lot of the changes that Xbox has been making, you know, sending their exclusives to other platforms and then now bringing other platforms to the Xbox. But I think, like, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think that this is a terrible idea. But had you heard of this? What do you think of it?
I haven't heard of it. This is the first I've heard of it. But I mean, is it going to be like, obviously, right? So if I sign into my account on Steam on Xbox, I'm going to have those games available to play on my Xbox?
I would think so. I would think it would work similar to like how a Steam Deck works. Like you're gonna log in, you're gonna launch Steam, and then you're gonna have access to whatever Steam games
because you Steam have, does
or at least that are like compatible. Of course, yeah. like I say, Steam right now is not confirmed. That's speculation. But at least for right now, we know of that IO website launcher, and we know about Epic. Those were the ones mentioned directly by Spencer. So like you would like, you know, launch Epic and you would be able to play like their list of games on your Xbox.
Yeah.
If you have them like on the Epic store already, I would think
that'd be awesome. I mean, there's nothing wrong with like integrating different launchers into one, I guess, console or PC or whatever, because who loses? You're spreading obviously everything into everywhere, and in this case more people have access to whether titles or to whether, you know, to just more resources, right? More games. And obviously Phil Spencer's always been one to put that in his forefront, his philosophy. You know, we want to get as many games into the hands of as many players, and I think it's good all around. I would like to play a couple of my old games because Steam does have a good library, especially when it comes to like those early video games that are released. And I'm thinking more or less of like Trails SC and the first Trails game that came out like in the 90s and stuff like that, because I do have those, but it's just very hard for me to play those on a PC. I'd rather play those with a controller than anything else. I have one that I connect to the PC, but I just don't. But no, I think that'd be good news all around.
Yeah, I feel like the whole, like, I feel like there's a lot of resistance because of the whole, like, Xbox is number one, no, PlayStation is number one, and kind of like, you know, the walls kind of closing in on the whole, like, console war kind of thing. Like, you know, we're at a time now where we have crossplay on just about everything. It's kind of like this a standard now that a lot of people want across games. But I don't know. I feel like this is a win for everybody. You know, for us, it might not be as huge because it might just be a convenience thing. Like you mentioned, I would rather play this on my Xbox with a controller. But like for those people that don't have a PC, you know, you'll get to play some of these Epic games on your Xbox for the first time, especially some that specifically only launch like on the Epic Game Store or Steam or whatever. I think, what was the name of the other one? I just had it here. It is called... I lost it. I know it's called something IO.
I have no idea.
But yeah, I mean, I'm down with it. I think it's a wait and see kind of thing, and hopefully, you know, we get there. There might be other people that have other reservations, but at the time, like, I can't think of why we wouldn't want to try this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think everybody wins.
Yeah. Let's see. The only other thing I had on here was some of the basketball stuff that we've had this this past week. You know, we've had the NCAA stuff going on. Today we had two huge games. We had UConn advance past USC, and then we had Caitlin Clark and Iowa beat up on LSU, get past Angel Reese in their like revenge game, you know, from last year. So this is looking like the next round, at least on this side of the bracket, is going to be Beckers and UConn versus Caitlin and Iowa. So it should be like a big, big game. And, you know, a nice showdown between the two. Have you been watching the game? Do you have someone in specific you're cheering for?
I've been trying to watch this as much as I could. I'm not a big college basketball fan, but usually when the tournament comes, I'll try my best to catch as many games. I did see Purdue yesterday, and I did see NC State with the DJ players, and I did see like mini Debo. Zach Randolph, for those who don't know, pop off on some of these guys because he's listed at 6'9", but he didn't look 6'9". He's about at 6'8", 6'7". But he's 275, and this guy was big boy, moving, great footwork. And I said, damn. And then this morning, and I don't know how true it was because everything on the internet today was like April Fool's and stuff, so I took everything with a grain of salt. But apparently some NFL general managers would like to see what this guy's made of as a guard. And I don't know if this guy's ever played football or not, but I was like, hey, man, you got your opportunities. Good for you. He deserves them. You know, Final Four is here. And I did see Eddie from Purdue. I forgot his first name. But I did see his slow-ass play. Granted, he didn't have 40 points, right? But the Purdue team just looked pretty good. So it's the Final Four for the men is going to be interesting. And then for the girls, I did watch a little bit of the game. I like watching, you know, and Caitlin Clark's done great things for college basketball. So is Angel Reese. I know a lot of times that rivalry just really, you know, stimulated, especially for today's game, right? That rematch, and really had people watching. People were going out to see this game, and they put on a show. I did see at least a little bit of the first half. I'm sorry, the first two quarters. I just see a little bit of the third quarter, and then just very, very little of the fourth, which is probably just the ending where the game was already kind of over. But Caitlin Clark, you know, just shoots lights out. They had no answer for her, regardless of whether they were guarding her. She was just running circles. And then LSU, man, oh, man, they were, like you mentioned before the podcast, that they were just going to dominate the inside of the game. And, you know, Reese had 20 boards, which is, hey, I don't give a damn, man. 20 boards is 20 boards, and that's a lot. So she played her heart out. I forgot the other centers, and she played her heart out, and it was a good game. But like you mentioned, and I remember Beckers. I didn't remember her name, but I remembered Rico always talking about her and stuff. So it looks like we're going to get another good one. But yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's almost over. Final Four for both of them. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, it should be a good one. The other thing that has kind of been popped up has been the NBA MVP discussion has been a very hot debate about like the order that people have everybody in. You know, we kind of have the same couple people up there. You know, you have your three. I've heard a lot more lately. I've heard there are some people that want that have, you know, are still like on the Jokic train. There's some people that are on the Shai Shai Gilgeous-Alexander train.
And Luka.
Now Luka has kind of made his case a little bit with them moving, with them like continuing to move up and having this win streak and stuff like that. I even heard averaging some people
36, 37.
Yeah, 15. I even heard some people mention Brunson ahead of Luka today. I mean, of course, it was Stephen A. Smith, so you know, take it with a grain of salt. But he said he had Brunson ahead of Luka.
No, Stephen A. is always on one, and he says the hot takes. Granted, if maybe the Knicks were winning a little bit, were winning more. I know Brunson had that amazing 61-point game and stuff like that. But you took an L, and Wemby. You know, people go to the game ball. Wemby had 40 points and 20 boards and 7 assists. This is outlandish numbers also. Like, in terms of fantasy points, I think Victor still had more points than Jalen Brunson. But obviously, they take away for the amount of shots. But like you had mentioned, the three that I'm always hearing, Joker, which is strangely enough, it's more... Joker's, like, always up there as number one. But Luka and Shai have really just exploded in the last month. The month of March has just been like the Luka show, man. Shai's just been, and again, Shai does have the benefit of what I think they're number one, or number one or two in a very, very competitive West. And that's not to take, you know, anything away from him. I just think personally, it might be a little bit biased, but if anybody's going to compete for Joker, and that's because Joker hasn't been really talked about at all. Luka in March has just been doing some outlandish, crazy, just Jesus, man. Like, over, what's he averaging? He's averaging, 38 points a game or something stupid like that? He's averaging 35. He's averaging something dumb. I know in the month of March, he's averaging just a lot. And there was that, and I said, there's no way. Like, what was that highlight a few days ago where there's 5 seconds left of a shot clock, and he's dribbling, trying to create a shot. He stops his dribble. So he takes a step into the three-point line, and he underhands it from the three-point line. Buckets. I said, get this guy out of here. And he's laughing, and he's having a good time the entire time. And, you know, I was just, and they're winning. The Mavericks are winning. It seems like they're, you know, things are falling into place for them, and they're making a super this late push here. And I know the Lakers are also winning, and again, Lakers fan, winning a lot of stuff like that. But between Joker, Shai, and Luka, those three men, they're gonna battle it out. And I guess if Stephen A. wants to throw away his MVP vote, by all means, go ahead and do so. But between those three guys, man, shoot, man, God, I have it's good, which is good, right? It's not going to be unanimous by any means, and I'm really curious to see, you know, who these guys are going to vote for, because was it last year where it happened, I think, where somebody didn't make it or something like that, because the second place votes, they got more second place votes than the other guy who got more, even though he had more first place votes, he had more third place votes. It was something weird. I don't know if it was an All-Star game or whatever, but hey, those votes count, man. It's going to be awesome to see. So I'm excited about that. We'll really see who's going to be the MVP this season. Ballers, yeah. All of them.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think to be fair, Stephen A. did say that he would take Gildas-Alexander, SGA, for MVP. Oh, okay. But I don't know. It's kind of weird. I feel like there's, for some reason, I don't know, maybe I'm biased, but I do feel like there is a resistance out there. Like, some people, it feels like some people don't want to acknowledge Luka's season. And I feel like it's one of those things where it's like LeBron, like, after a while was kind of like, yeah, like, sure, this guy's doing crazy things, but that's just LeBron. And I feel like we've become conditioned to, like, yeah, Luka's just a crazy player, but, like, yeah, like, he's we don't talk about him here. And I feel like people have resisted this for a long time. And now, because since the trade, our defense has kind of changed, our offense has kind of changed as well, where we're not always just live and die by the three anymore. But the one constant that we've had all season is Luka is playing out of his mind.
Out of his mind, dude.
Yeah. You know, like, I'm looking at it right here. He's number one in points per game. He's number 15 in rebounds per game.
9.1. They gotta say the number, 9.1.
9.1. And he's second in assists per game at 9.8. You know, Shai, which is, I mean, no slouch either, 30.3 at third place, 5.5 at 63rd, and 6.3 assists per game at 17. I think he is leading the league in assists, but I mean, just per game, like, that's just I don't know. I mean, he's playing amazing, and I don't want to take anything away from him. I think it just comes down to the debate of, like, how heavy do you weigh the seed at which they are? If are you the kind of person that wants, like, the person that's, like, number one in the NBA because he's, like, on the best team? Or does it happen? Or do you give that award out to the person who is the best player for their team, regardless of what seat they are? Because we did have a couple years ago, Jokic's first MVP, I think he was the sixth seed. And I think Russell Westbrook also, when he got his, where he did make history, you know, first person to average a triple-double since, I think, the Big O.
Oscar.
I think he was also a sixth seed, if not a seventh seed. So I think, like, there's a little bit of narrative there. Like, who are we going to go with, the guy that, you know, his team is winning all these games, or, you know, the guy that has maybe faced more adversity, a lot of injuries, stuff like that? I heard today that I think the best lineup for the Mavs, I think, has only shared the court for like 100 and some minutes, which is like, they've been all the with all the injuries and all the changes that we've had to make. Of course, I am a Mavs fan, so, you know, I have a little bit of bias, but I try to be fair. But I've always thought of the MVP. I've never been like, okay, we have to give it to the best player on the best team. I've never liked that argument. I've always been more of
best player.
It has to be the number one guy. If you're starting a team based on the season that we have had here in front of us and what a player has been able to achieve, who are you picking with your number one pick? And all due respect to SGA, I think he's amazing. I'm a big fan of his, but I don't feel like I would pick him over Luka or Joker.
No, I agree. Joker and Luka. To me, that's who it's more.
Maybe not. Maybe even about Giannis. I don't know. I think he's close with Giannis at this stage, but I mean, Giannis is having a crazy season too.
I think it will come down, no joke, and it always heats up, and people tend, unfortunately, to forget the beginning, right, or the first half of the season. People start focusing more so on the second half of this, or this half of the season. But again, the numbers that Luka's putting up is just ridiculous, and with 8 more games left across the board, I think these 8 games, especially for the MVP conversation, is going to be very important. Luka, if Luka breaks 50, you know, or 50 wins, it's pretty much, you know, I think it's a gimme. If the Thunder just don't happen to get to 60, you know, or if Joker doesn't get to 60, or Giannis doesn't get to 55, who knows? But I Luka and Joker, man, and that's because right now I would probably vote for Luka just because of the astronomical amount of just what this guy's doing. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's had those moments too. That 70 point game. He had the crazy Christmas game against Phoenix where he dropped 50 and won. So I don't know. You know, he has these circus shots, like, repeatedly, like the hook shot, the little underhand shot that you mentioned from yesterday against the Rockets. Like, he's just a crazy player. It's funny because I saw some posts about Luka and that shot, and it was, you're gonna love this, it was it said Luka playing against the Rockets, and it shows Almene from Kuroku's Basketball.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, and it's the one where he's like almost laying down on the floor and he throws it from behind the backboard.
Yeah, I remember
it was,
that.
It was that gift. So I was just like, oh my God, I got to show this to Marcus. He's going to love this.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, he's all the way back and he just shucks it straight up and it goes through the hoop. Ridiculous, man. Good stuff. I just watch it again.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's shaping up to be a good one. Well, any of those three guys could deserve it. Of course, you know, people have their different ideas about, you know, what an MVP is, what an MVP should be, but I don't know. I feel like it's a good one. It's tough that, you know, we're not really talking about Giannis with the great season he's having. And, you know, Jason Tatum, I hear him mentioned there, at least in the top you know, contenders, but not really as the MVP. But I guess
that's a good team overall. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say. I think what works against him there is just the caliber of his teammates. Yeah. You know,
his Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, Porzingis, like, and Derek White's coming to his own. Like, that's starting five, and that's because Tatum still gets, you know, his numbers. But obviously, his team is just stacked. So obviously, you know, and again, better for him, right? Better for him. If you're aiming for a championship, better for him, right?
Yeah. He's going for the big award this season. So, I mean, hopefully, let's see. Hopefully, they can pull it off and get there. Anything else you want to throw out there? I think that was it. Those couple things that I kind of remembered from this past 2 week period. You know, the big things going on. Anything else you want to throw out there?
Yeah. The only thing, and again, I gotta mention anime, right? Always gotta talk about it, and I promise I won't take long. But aside from being on episode 808 of One Piece, no, I'm joking. It's not about One Piece, I promise. But no, the winter 2024 season, I think as of already wrapped up as of last week, if I'm not mistaken. I know there was a lot of great anime that premiered. Solo Leveling was actually one of the ones that kind of people, you know, took a liking to, and I always said, right, the animation was going to be gorgeous. The story, we don't talk about the story on Solo Leveling. There's better, but the animation was going to be amazing. The Dangers in My Heart, the second season, blew everybody's away.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
I know blew people's expectations away. That was, if I'm not mistaken, the top rated anime for the winter 2024 season. But that's not to, you know, shake off the likes of Classroom of the Elite, Mashal. I think even the Monsters Netflix series did pretty all right. So did the Sandland one, but. With that said, not only did the winter 2024 season come to an end, the fall 2023 anime that were up there, I think, namely Frieren and the Apothecary Diaries, also had their last episode showing. I know Rico talked about it last week. It's, well, it's last episode, no more Frieren. I know he's very upset about that, but it's going to be okay, right? Because not only, and Frieren right now was the talk of the town, right? The Apothecary Diaries and Frieren, as far as ratings, they're like neck to neck, but Frieren did take that, I guess, crown because it's more of the shonen, right? The magic and the elves. It seemed to be more of people's cup of tea rather than the historical part and the medicine and the Apothecary Diaries. But nonetheless, we are making way now for the spring 2024 season. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Demon Slayer started up again, and we're talking about the Hashira training arc, which is, yes, a training arc. Unfortunately, this might be one of the weaker seasons, so just a heads up out there. But we are getting a lot of stuff for the spring 2024 season. I know we're getting a couple of new anime that people haven't seen before. Get ready, Kaiju number 8 is going to be dropping soon. If you're not familiar with Kaiju number 8, I'm sure you're going to love it. Mission Yosakura Family is also one of the ones that was kind of being teased around a lot. So that one's also coming in April. Windbreaker is another new one that's coming out that people have been talking about. The Fable. So there are a lot of new ones for those of you who like, you know, to get into those new ones. So you have a lot to look forward to. But we also have some sequels. You can't forget the sequels, right? And I did mention Demon Slayer already, right? But The Misfit of Demon King, the regular at Magic High School Season 3. One of my personal favorites, and is actually one of my gateway animes, The Spice and Wolf. It's finally coming back, so I'm very, very excited about that one. And again, not until I'm done with One Piece, so yes, I know. And then My Hero Academia Season 7 is kind of dropping here soon, and so is Jobless Season 2 Part 2. Second Season Part 2. So there's going to be a lot for everybody. It's going to be a good one, like always. And to rewind a little bit and go back to Frieren, and this was actually the second part of what I want to talk about. Frieren was actually up there for as far as ratings and anime of the year and all that kind of stuff. And if it's going to win anime of the year whenever Crunchyroll does their, you know, stuff, because it did overtake. And if you're familiar with myanimelist.net, it's just a group of ratings, a group of people, and it's just a lot of people and just rate different anime. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood had held the crown for so, so long. And I'm talking since it came out and it debuted. We're talking, 14 years as of right now, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 15. Steins Gate was always up there at number 2, according to my anime list. And there's different lists, there's different, you know, websites that crown these things. But Full Metal Alchemist, no matter what website you went to, was always crowned number 1, hands down. Was always number 1 up there. Steins Gate was always 2 or 3, hands down. Well, as of last week, Free Rent came out of nowhere and actually took that number one spot across every single anime website that has a rating board on it. So I did think of Rico and I did say,
Hell yeah, bro.
So a Free Rent, I guess, and it's going to be one of those, whether it has that, I guess, because Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood did have that whole like straight shonen popularity with the One Pieces and the Naruto and stuff. Free Rent, I'm not sure if it's going to get into those numbers.
The thing is with Free Rent, it's not. It has those aspects, but it's really not that at all, man. It's not for everybody.
And that's what I'm saying. People are gonna watch.
Yeah, people are not gonna like watch it and be like, "Oh, I want it's the fights and the fights." Yes, the fights. Some of the fights are good, but it's the here and in between that is just so like top tier. The characters, the little stories, like it's amazing. I'm so happy that it's up there, and it's crazy that it's finally dethroned Fullmetal Alchemist, but. It deserves it, man. It really is that good.
And to put into perspective, let me just kind of put into perspective for you real quick. The number of people who kind of rated this more so, again, this is as far as ranking, right? Popularity is a whole different monster. When we knew Free Rent as far as popularity concerned, you know, there's popularity and it might not even be up there with any of the big ones, but that's besides the point. Just to kind of give some numbers, as far as rank across the board, the number of people who liked it, the number of people who rated it, did rank it as number one because they did enjoy it. Now, different websites have different numbers. For example, I'm going with my anime list. 652,000 members have rated Free Rent, right? In any regards, in five. So it's a very, very good number because they do based on averages. Full Metal Alchemist, again, based on averages, has 3,327,000. So obviously, there's still a little bit more, but obviously, you know, Fullmetal Alchemist does have the luxury of being an anime that's 15 years old and stuff like that, as compared to one where, again, 652,000 is a lot. That's 25, 30%, 20% of those numbers for an anime that came out, no joke, 6 months ago.
I was going to say, like, that's a fraction of the time.
I, which is crazy. So again.
And it's niche. Like, it's like you said, it's very niche.
And it's more of a niche anime because, again, it's not going to be up there. I knew from seeing it. I didn't know. Obviously, the one that it's deserving. You know it's going to be a great story and a great anime. But you can tell right off the bat, it's not going to be a Demon Slayer. It's not going to look like One Piece, Naruto, you know, Full Metal. Like, it's not those type of shonen animes. But it is one of those that has the magic, the story, I guess the nuances, right? That people, the drama that people enjoy. So that is going to be the first one I'm going to get into. And I promise Rico, I'm going to. Obviously, I'm not going to watch the anime that took out Fullmetal Alchemist, right?
Whatever, 2 years from now.
Yeah. Whenever I kind of pick and choose, this is how I kind of started like my anime journey. I would look at these lists and I would start from one and I started working my way all the way to the bottom. Unless there was something I liked, I would watch it and then come back to it and go all the way down. So when I first started, it was always anything in the top 1,000, but obviously the amount of anime that's come out in the last few 5 years, so I had to open up my range. Now anything in the 1 to like 3,000 range, 2,000 range is like a little sweet spot for me. So there's a lot to catch up on. I can't wait because, again, I do watch about 5 episodes, 6 episodes a day and just about anything, not just One Piece, but Free Rent is number one on that list now. So I did want to shout out Free Rent. I knew that was gonna make Rico happy. I did see that, so it's gonna be fun to watch. But yeah, there you go. Congrats.
Yeah, I'm just happy with that, and I mean, I'm done with all my takes and stuff. So you want to sign us out?
Yeah. So aside from that, let me see. For some reason, I went back to this list real quick because they do have it. What you call it? They do have a list also by popularity and not by rank. And by popularity, meaning the number of members who actually have rated a certain series, regardless of how people rated it, it's they base it off the number of members who actually rated it. Does that make sense? They don't look. They don't look at rating. They just look at the number of members who rated it. So Attack on Titan.
Basically like fan base.
Yeah. So Attack on Titan is up there at 3.9 mil. Death Note 3.8. Full Metal Alchemist 3.3, One Punch Man 3.2, and Sword Art Online, which is at 3 million, which is strange because Sword Art Online falls off quite hard, but that's a story for another time. But hey, for those of you who are into numbers and want to see some interesting stuff, myanimelist.net is one that I go to. My main one is Anime Planet. AnimePlanet.com is actually another that those two. Anime Planet first, My Anime List second. But Anime Planet is where I actually have all my anime that I've seen, want to see, dropped, actually filtered, you know, one by one. And it's in the 100, it's in like 300 or something like that. You know, it kind of stopped obviously in the last year and a half because of One Piece, but the episode, my episode limit's gone all the way up. So great stuff there. So aside from that, I'm gonna go ahead and log us out. Anything else, Rico, before I sign us out?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. So I know it's been a while, and again, just life again, just kind of take its toll, but it's been about a week and a half since our last episode, which was a discussion. I actually like this format a lot as far as our news. I know even last time, our last episode wasn't very news involved, but that's okay because we did have a basketball discussion on our favorite players of all the NBA teams and franchises ever. So if you would like to listen to a basketball discussion, you can go ahead and listen to that one. But if you want to listen to our other recent news episode, that's we did give a shout out to Toriyama. He did pass away about 2 weeks ago, so still obviously reeling the effects of that. Also, we had some new series coming to the anime sphere, some new Netflix stuff, and some Switch conspiracies, because there was a lot of Switch stuff going on during that time too. So if you want to give a listen to that, again, feel free to go listen to us on RSS.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, I believe is where we're at least the ones off the top of my head. But other than that, thank you guys for tuning in and listening. We are the Meta Era Nerds. You guys have a good night.